This is my first time talking away from my institution, so if you could please forgive me for reading my paper. I'm also addressing a group where two of my primary resources are actually in the audience, so I'm doubly nervous. So I call myself an audiovisualist, and this is an example of the stuff that I do here. This was a live improvised performance with Joel Stern, Josh Watson, Joe Musgrove and myself at the Brisbane Artist Run Initiative Festival in King George Square. It was in a little tent set up there, and I'm doing live sound and image processing with the other performers. Trends towards the integration of media forms have been noticed in scattered academic reflections at least since Marshall McLuhan's publications in the 1960s and have proliferated with the ubiquity of computer-based operation. As a keen observer of these trends, Stephen Holtzman states, "An expression is an expression of its time and also an expression of the idiomatic nature of the medium by which it is realized. The introduction of digital hardware to live performance has necessitated a shift in how we compose, perform, and appreciate live media. The computer considers all media as numeric data, and software exists that makes little to no distinction between media types," as this gentleman mentioned just before. So an interdisciplinary practice is perhaps therefore a natural outcome of computational arts, driving the emergence of a distinct form of artistic practitioner. So, much has already been written about the relationship between audiovisual practice and 20th century visual music. Ian Andrews, hello, theorist and AV artist, prefers to define contemporary audiovisual art as a live performance practice that derives its language from formal compositional structures of time and rhythm, which are closer to music than to specifically cinematic or visual art codes. Andrew Hill is even more direct in describing audiovisual music as a composition of sound and image informed by traditions of music in which materials are structured within time and where the sound and image are regarded as equal components joined in the context of a work. So contemporary audio and visual practice also share a material status, the electronic signal in wire or data. Bill Viola states that the video camera as an electronic transducer of physical energy into electrical impulses bears a closer original relation to the microphone than the mechanical chemical process of film. This notion of transducence, a transfer from one energy form to another, is central to any modern digital arts practice where analog input, no matter the form, is converted to data. Now, this is the video that's loud. Source data can be pre-rendered and streamed or sent quietly revolutionise audiovisual production and performance. This paper extends on the assertions of Hill and Andrews, examining the influence that music concrete, acousmatic composition, electroacoustic performance have had on modern audiovisual practice. First section, I'm going to talk about the instantiation of the audiovisual object. Emerging approaches to audiovisual performance may draw on the richness of established musical performance practices, but they move in many distinct directions away from what might be considered the traditional instrumentalist approach. As expertly summarized by sound artist and composer Darren Verhagen, Prior to the 20th century and the development of electronics and recording, there was always a binding between a sonic event and a corresponding action necessary to cause the sound. To make a noise, one needed some equivalent movement. With the advent of the recorded medium, the wax cylinder and the phonograph, this binding unraveled. In his Guide to Pierre Schaeffer's Sound Object, Michel Chion describes the acousmatic approach as indicating a noise which is heard without the causes from which it originates being seen. As an alternate approach to both sonic perception and dispersal, the acousmatic approach favoured reduced listening, which concentrates on the sound for its own sake, as sound object independent of its cause or its meaning. In contrast to reduced listening, Schaeffer also described how we commonly try to identify the cause and location of a sonic event, a causal form of listening, and how we also attempt to understand its meaning, a semantic form of listening. From the experiments carried out by Pierre Schaeffer and his students at GRMC, the Institute, an entire movement of electroacoustic music and performance was derived, where visual information, the role of the performer, and instrumental objects are all removed from the acousmatic situation. The audience gaze shifted to loudspeaker symphonies of acousmatic derivation, where sound objects were originally dispersed by the composer in real time and space. One student of Schaeffer's from GRMC, Pierre Henri, describes music concrete as the art of decision. You choose one sound over another. It is the chosen sound that becomes the lodestone of what is to come. Jing Youngblood also asserted that cinema is the art of organising a stream of audio-visual events in time. It is an event stream just like music. From a philosophical standpoint, the audio-visual sample as it is used today bears more than a surface similarity to the sound object outlined by Pierre Schaeffer. Captured in digital form through portable cameras or audio recorders, this stream of data is instantaneously separated from its origin, ready for reconstruction and reinterpretation. We split the audio and video data into separate streams to allow for more focus manipulation. We can work at microscopic levels of detail that allow us to extend our regular ability to comprehend the audio or visual event, which variably sits around 24 events per second, the speed of film. For Malcolm LaGrasse, the image of data is a visual and non-visual forms, and the construction of virtual realities based on abstract or natural phenomena through image synthesis. Karlheinz Stockhausen, another student of Schaeffer, prescribes similar affordances in his four criteria of electronic music: that sound could be sped up and slowed down, that it could be split, that it could be layered in sonic space, that tone and noise are equally valid sonic forms. Media objects in AV work often consist of loop sections of sound and vision deployed in structural pattern or stacked to form an audiovisual collage. Harnessing the power of evolving digital technology, electroacoustic tools allow the composer to direct their material towards a near infinite number of stylistic choices. Pierre Henri claims that his sounds are all the more alive for being removed from their context. They have a new birth that I will and an end that I desire. To borrow a term from the title of a song by German experimental rock band Einstürzende in Neubauten, this is brain Lego. Short individual clips and long evolving forms that are perpetually broken apart, transformed and reconfigured into new intriguing shapes thanks to the malleability of data. The manner in which performers bind and project these audiovisual objects is the substance of the remainder of this paper. David Toop describes the dream of creating an overwhelming synesthesia as being subservient to the false assumptions or deep-seated needs to see a clear, discernible link between visible actions and sound production that creates a warm glow of communication with the audience. While some of the more hyperbolic references to mixed-media work make direct their claims for synesthesia, it is an incorrect and ineffective holistic descriptor for AV work given the contextual nature of perception. As Mitchell Whitelaw, hi, explains, synesthesia, by definition, occurs in the perceptual system of the synesthete, not in the cross-connections of a video synth. Audiovisual works are artifacts, objects of perception, not perceptions. These AV objects often start as a kind of Frankenstein, cobbled together from media parts stolen from their original context. Regardless of their incompatibility, the audience will always process the events unfolding with an eye to understanding them. Whitelaw defines this ability to evaluate and interpret simultaneous event streams in our environment as a cross-modality that binds percepts into wholes, wholes that map onto ecologically plausible events. So Sheehan reiterates this binding under the term synchrosis, or the spontaneous and irresistible well produced between a particular auditory phenomenon and visual phenomenon when they occur at the same time. Synchrosis is a synthesized meaning through the perception of synchronized or syncretic signals, where reduced listening focuses on the sound without causal or semantic references. The projection of a sound sample and an image sample together all but guarantees the synthesis of a causal or semantic connection. The question is, how can an audiovisual performer capitalize on this quirk? Trevor Wishart describes electroacoustic composition as the use of sonic metaphor that aims to unfold structures and relationships in time. These relationships are constructed through the deliberate manipulation of our perception of sound objects and scenes. This method of composition can be readily applied with the inclusion of video, as it does not work purely on an acousmatic level, nor on a formalized structure level, but requires aspects of both combined with our perception and interpretation. In order to more effectively construct a language of relationship between audiovisual objects, Wishart suggests a minimum requirement that has been adapted here to include audiovisual objects. That we need to the recognition of audiovisual objects and the reconciliation of their source. The use of formal structures and transformation of the audiovisual objects that have both sonic and visual impact as well as metaphorical importance. And the ability of the listener to understand the audiovisual metaphors, which requires that the composer be articulate and that they build up a set of metaphoric primitives that could be reasonably expected to be understood. With reference to Category 1, this recognition requires the construction of a metaphoric landscape, a causal relationship between AV objects that might describe a virtual space and the disposition of objects within that space. In Wishart's original text, this relationship extends from the loudspeaker or headphones to be constructed in the listener's mind. With reference to live AV practice, the composer is more likely to attempt a transformation or engagement with real space, or the use of real space as a framing device, highlighting a transformation. The former will be discussed in more detail in the following section, but it is worth considering the latter here. Ian Andrews contends that much of what is considered to be contemporary AV performance is characterized by the syncretic movement of electronic sound and abstract images over time, united at the level of the signal. He sees the reliance on synesthesia as a denial of the more obvious direct causal relations in favor of a vague confusion of sensory data in the perceiving subject. His belief is that the purest form of AV exists to demonstrate a direct causal relation between audio and video, where the events in one mode are the direct consequence of events in another. While the causal relationship between an instrument, performer, and sound creation has a physicality that establishes an immediate syncretic presence, the notebook performer projecting their data stream could be an interpretable something or an unparsable nothing, depending on how the stream or signal is coded by the performer, decoded by the audience, and then responded to. Whitelaw explains that in much digital media, the relationship between input and output is imperceptible, obscure, or encoded. The data stream by itself is uninterpretable, and if the mapping of that data, the process of transducence, is not revealed, the piece will be seemingly built on a missing foundation, a magical transubstantiation. An AV work that features this direct causal relationship is projecting the transformation or transducence of causal systems into one another. The performative focus is on the process, however, as per Wishart's requirements, the audience needs only to recognize the causal relationships and appreciate the formal structures. In the case of Robin Fox with his laser and synchronator AV performances, we do not need to know that he is directly feeding the sound to the visualization objects, as we can identify a formal process and a causal relationship through the performance. We are also made aware that there is an engineer manipulating these signals, and we then assume that this transformation is occurring in real time, as real space is framing a performer and their manipulations. The individual AV elements are made syncretic through the unification of signal, instantiating a causal relationship via the natural process of cross-modal binding. As this binding is synthesized, the audiovisualist can explore alternate combinations stacked vertically for form, transformed horizontally for meaning. This reliance on demonstrated repeatable synchrosis, however it is manufactured, is a key feature of AB works and highlights the point of separation from the Schafferian school of acousmatic composition. How am I doing for time? Okay, awesome. Okay, projecting the audiovisual object. Given the ocular-centric nature of modern society, it is understandable that AV is predominantly compared to the mode of cinema and the medium of film. Paul Spinrad cautions that our expectations and habits around being audience members have atrophied ever since movies became popular. They taught us to sit together and pay attention to a dead, unchanging recording rather than something living and responsive. Along with differences in the way film is presented, the moving photographic montage of film responds to a different form of manipulation than the electronic signal of video. But this does not necessarily change the expectations or the way that we might perceive that signal. Where audiences identify a performance by the movement of performers, an expectation is readily shattered when the focus of performance is not a human body, but an emerging, transforming audiovisual signal. Ian Andrews argues for a contracted mode of performance where the adoption of a minimal aesthetic of static temporal structures combined with a contracted focus on the medium within a set of defined material limits. These limits, he believes, shift composition towards the exploration of material, sonic optical possibilities and ultimately suggest the instrument and the medium are interchangeable. The video itself has been used as a way of distancing the performer from traditional performance as well, as Tom Ellard explains, the visuals distracted from the people on stage. We were against people looking at us performing, which seemed a bit rock. The body of the audience is actively involved in the performance. However, the focus shifts to the projection or diffusion of the stereo sound to a number of loud streams of patients within space. The GRM school provides the epiphenomenon for this purpose, and composers from the University of Birmingham put in piece. As John C. Harrison explains, within the acousmatic tradition, composition and performance are inextricably linked, diffusion being in effect a continuation of the composition process. For the performing audio-visualist, the composition, performance, projection of sound and energy in space is equally conflated. The composer may use software like MaxMSP that works equally to sound and vision and performance. The performer may embrace the use of external controllers like mixers and MIDI keyboards, which outline a demonstrable link between sound and interaction. The spatial diffusion of sound in space also nicely parallels the urge to project beyond the two-dimensional screen promoted by the expanded cinema movement. While Wishart declares that the ability for a loudspeaker to set up a virtual acoustic space into which we may project an image of any real existing acoustic space presents us with new creative possibilities, such a disembodied approach often fails to effectively address the environment to be projected into, as there is no clear link between the sound and its creation. Dealing with the latter issue first, this demonstrates a problem not with the mode of delivery, but with the absence of a performing body, in a context that demands presence. As Ian Andrews explains, audiences are drawn by a desire to be in the same space as the artist composer and to share a unique event. The emphasis on the role of the performer's body in these situations is an amplification of presence. David Dixon extends this notion by explaining that real presence occurs when the artwork demands attention, whatever the form that artwork might take. An acousmatic performance with a distinct focus away from the performing body has every right to be successful, provided the work is sufficiently engaging and will mesmerise and enchant the attendees. So returning to Wishart's requirements, projecting audiovisual objects that allow for audience recognition is the first step, emphasising their clearly defined relationships with one another within an obvious, though not necessarily linear or static structure, is the second step. Producing a connection that, however abstract, could, through articulate synchrosis, be reasonably expected to be understood is a third step. So these are the three steps that I should have stepped through, but didn't. The assumption with regards to most acousmatic music is that a concert hall or similarly designed space is being used, providing a somewhat clean slate for effective immersion and engagement. With live AV, this is rarely the case, as there are few venues specifically designed for the diffusion of real-time spatial audio and video. For this reason, the performance is invariably framed by the environment it's presented in, or aims to transform that environment in some way. Where a process of transduction is being demonstrated, the approach is framed by the space and time occurring in, the gestures of the performer, real or figurative, that execute the process, and the bodies of the audience that do that. When we watch a musical ensemble perform, we identify how the individual performers bring forth sound towards a communal whole that we appreciate and applaud in real time and space. When we watch a movie, we suspend disbelief and are drawn trance-like into a narrative explicated through the cause-effect relationship between actors, sets, and structure of scenes. Despite the artificiality of these relationships, we are compelled to understand the interaction of audiovisual objects. Audiovisualists who consider the acousmatic approach to composition and performance are offered multiple ways to approach audience expectation without relying on traditional film or music interpretations. A strong performative presence can arise from a demonstrated synchrosis where care is taken in the selection and distribution of AV objects that form meaningful relationships with each other, with the space, and with each audience member. Thank you very much.